This is Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray. That's Tom Rayside.
Yes, yes, y'all, and I am Tay, Eric Taylor, and it is a great Sports Monday. It's a new day, a new month, December 3rd. And before I even get to what I need to shout out before Ray does his thing, two things. I just want to thank all of the listeners who have been listening. You know, today it's almost been exactly really 3 months since we've been doing the show. And, you know, we're over 12,000 listeners, and I just want to thank everybody. And I want to thank my co-host, the birthday boy, Tal Rayside, on his birthday, man, because we started off right September 4th and then went into my birthday, and now it's coming full circle December 3rd to Ray's birthday, man. So happy birthday, and, yeah, man, it's a good sports Monday.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you. And thank everybody for listening. We really appreciate the support and the love and finding us on Twitter and Gmail and Facebook and listening to the show. And, again, it's interactive. It's sports with friends. If you have ideas or comments or just something you want to get off your chest about your teams that you love or teams that you hate or just some random thoughts about sports, well, give us a shout. We'd love to be a part of your day.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm sorry, I didn't even let him know, man. 718-664-9098. And obviously, you know, the Ray and Tay today, the Gmail, Facebook, and also at Twitter, man. That's RAEANDTAY today. So, Ray, let him know what we're working with today.
All right. So we're going to go do our normal segments on Monday. So we're going to talk about breaking news in the sports world. We've got all the college bowls set up, so we can go preview this Alabama or review this Alabama-Georgia game and talk a little bit about the bowls. We'll be talking about it over the next month or so, the college bowls. We'll also take our tour around the NBA, some good stuff happening around the association, and we'll get into NFL Week 13. We're going to highlight six excellent games this week, really as we head down the stretch to the playoff run for a lot of these teams. Playoff situation a little murky in the NFC, and we'll go through that a little bit. And finally, we've got champs and chumps, where Ray and Tay give you their champ, their best performer of the weekend, and the chumps, the worst performers of the weekend. And then we'll finish out the show with a preview of tonight's Monday Night Football critical NFC matchup with the Giants going down to our nation's capital visiting the Redskins. So full show today.
Yes, sir. Let's jump into it, man. I mean, first, I'll talk about some of these injuries, man. Looks like Jake Long, offensive tackle, all-pro offensive tackle for the Dolphins, got banged up, and Jonathan Martin came in for him in the game, and looks like he might be out for the rest of the season. Our boy, Jordy Nelson, got banged up, only had a catch or two in the game, and he got banged up, so he messed up that hamstring again. He might be out for a minute. Terrell Suggs left with his shoulder during the end of the Steelers game, the big win for the Steelers, and he said he'll be all right, but, you know, we'll have to wait and see because, you know, when these guys have these injuries already and they come off the field looking bad, you don't know if they're going to play next week. And Stevie Johnson, man. Stevie Johnson got a little banged up, and I'm glad I didn't play him in my fantasy. We got to talk some fantasy today. I'm glad I didn't play him in my fantasy football game. So he got banged up, and he had two catches. One was a touchdown, but didn't have a big, big game. And
Ike Taylor's going to miss 3 to 6 weeks.
Yes, and my boy Ike. Yes, that one hurts me on a personal level. You know, we'll talk about my Steelers later on, but that. Ike Taylor, you know, my cousin from another mother, he's part of the Taylor clan. That definitely hurt, man. And he stepped up, I got to say, Ray, to be, you know, a top cover corner in the league. So that really, you know, that hurts. So why don't you let him know about some of the other news?
Yeah, well, in baseball, we've got A-Rod potentially being out for the first half of the season. Looks like his hip needs some more work. And it's a 4 to 6 month recovery process, so he's probably going to have surgery. Looks like the Red Sox are going to go after Mike Napoli. So both the Yankees and the Red Sox need catchers. Looks like the Red Sox are going to land Napoli for a 3-year deal.
They might play him at first base, too.
Yeah, true. Mm-hmm. And, again, just a quick shout-out, you know, to that tragic situation in Kansas City over the weekend. you know, our hearts go out to everybody who lost a loved one and who knows the parties
involved.
Their family.
Yeah, that's
just terrible. It's just terrible. You know, all we can do is pray and hope that everything, you know, we bring a little relief to people talking some sports.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, they for 3 hours they got their minds off of it, played a heck of a game and beat Carolina 27-21. So, you know, definitely hearts go out to the whole Chiefs family. And you hear about your boy, man. First of all, man, we talk about the NBA, but your boy Kobe telling Pau Gasol, the 3-4 Lakers since they got their Tony, put on your big boy pants, man.
Your pants.
Hilarious. Gosh, listen, I don't know. I don't know. It's a mess. We could talk about that later. I guess you want to talk about the college football first. Maybe we'll talk about that.
Yeah,
first,
let's
man.
Jump into that.
And we'll get
into
the NBA.
Let's jump into that. Yeah. So first
me,
the big
man,
game. Let's talk about Alabama, Georgia.
Listen, we talked about it on Friday. I was questioning your boy Murray. And Bama did what I thought they would be able to do is run the ball and do enough that they could, you know, get some turnovers or stop them. And Murray had a great game. You know, I mean, they drive down. He's driving down the field. Georgia's defense made some big stops, but they could not stop the running game. I mean, combined, it was like 345 yards or something combined. Between the two running backs. I mean, Bama's running back.
Yeah, 350. McCarron himself had 16 yards. But, yeah, so Lacy ran for 181, and T.J. Yeldon ran for 153. So
and Yeldon's
between
the
them,
freshman.
334 yards and 3 touchdowns. I mean, and
ridiculous.
It was and they needed every one of those yards, right? That was it wasn't like Alabama was playing from ahead. But kudos to the Alabama coaching staff because they stuck with the running game, even when they were down, and they did it. I mean, I don't know if you say kudos to them because they just couldn't stop the Georgia pass rush. I mean, neither team could stop the other team in terms of the front four. And so even at the end of the game, Saban admitted it. He said, look, we ran the ball and hats off to our
offense. Because we couldn't pass it, yeah.
Well, we couldn't pass it. We couldn't the Georgia defense and the linebackers.
Well, they got like 4 NFL guys on the defensive end of the ball, man. They're monsters over there.
They said they had 2 guys that are underclassmen, but they said that they had 9 guys. Because, you know, nowadays, I guess it's been 5-10 years or so, where you can petition the league and say, where do you think I'll go in the draft? So Georgia had 9 guys on defense petition the league to see where they would go in the draft, plus the 2 underclassmen.
Wow.
So, I mean, this defense is stacked.
That's serious.
This defense is, and they all came back. That's the thing, and they all came back as a crew. So Mark Richt was like drinking the Kool-Aid. He thought, wow, I got my whole squad back. And look, they had a great year. I mean, they end up 11-2. That's nothing to sneeze at. They're probably, you know, maybe the second best team in the country. So great, great, great game. I'm glad that the game lived up to the billing, you know, the SEC championship game.
Yeah. Murray took it to the end, man.
Yeah, he sure did. He sure did. He looked really good first half, you know, and broke. Didn't he break Peyton Manning's record for touchdowns in the SEC? I mean, he's had a great year, a great career. And Gurley ran for 122. I mean, these guys, what a game. I mean, that's a great game. I just hope the national championship lives up to that. I just hope that Notre Dame.
Well, it will in hype. I mean, Notre Dame, Bama is going to have more hype than you could even imagine.
Well, that's
you know,
yeah,
and
always
so,
true
but
with Notre Dame.
We'll see. Well, you know what? We'll have to talk about some of these bowl games. I laughed though, right? Because nowadays, and we're going to do, and we'll let the fans know, we're going to do a bowl game mania on ESPN, the bowl game pick'em. And we'll have a group, and you guys can join and pick with us, see how you do against Ray and Tay. You know, a lot of people are in our football league and doing with Ray and Tay, and actually Ray's in first place with that. But I'm storming up in third and fourth place, so, you know, I'm picking good lately in football. So we'll see how that turns out. But I laugh, Ray, because these college football games, right, we've got all these big bowls that everybody knows about, you know, Rose, Fiesta, Sugar, Cotton, all those great names. But then you've got, like, the Belk Bowl. I've never even heard of the Belk Bowl.
Well, Belkis paid a lot of money to sponsor the bowl, so you better hear of it. What about the BBVA Compass Bowl?
But it's just comedy to me because, I mean, I know that it's the sponsorships and you know, you got the Sheridan Bowl. But it used to be, I don't know, man. It used to be like, you know, stuff we understood, we knew. They got the military bowl. They got all the stuff. But
yeah,
I'm laughing.
I got
like
a better
Duke,
one for you.
Duke
I got
and
a better
Cincinnati
one for
and the Belk Bowl.
We should do a top five bowl names. What about the Beef O'Brady's Bowl in St. Petersburg between Central Florida and Ball State? Or I got a better one for you. The Tax Slayer.
TaxSlayer.com
Gator Bowl. What you know about the TaxSlayer.com Gator Bowl? Mississippi State against Northwestern.
Okay. But you
big
got
teams,
the
you got SEC against the Big Ten.
No, I know you're going to have some stuff, but wait, you got University of Louisiana Monroe versus Ohio and the Advocare V100 Independence Bowl. Now, 8-4 team. I don't mean to laugh because, like, these guys are so happy to go.
No, there's 34 bowls. Seriously speaking, I think there's 34
bowls. Yeah, it's gotten to be too much. When you and I were growing up, there were, number one, you had to have at least 6 wins to make the bowl. And that was just, you know, that's what it still is, right? But usually, you know, the bowls, they were in the 20s. You know, now there's 30, whatever, 36, you said?
35, I think.
35. So, okay, there weren't that many. It was probably, like, 27. Maybe, you know, in the gist of the main time of us growing up in young 20s and stuff. But the bowls were, you know, the teams were pretty good, right? I mean, usually you didn't have 2 teams at 8-4 playing each other. I mean, well, 8-4 is not horrible. But you got some other bowls where teams have worse records than that, like 6-6. You know, you have a 6-6 team playing a 6-6 team in Air Force versus Rice. Okay, and this is in the Bell Helicopter Armed Forces Bowl. Now, they never had this before. The Bell Helicopter Armed Forces Bowl, and you already got the military bowl. I mean, no disrespect to Air Force, but 6-6, you should be at home. Maybe worried about our Air Force.
Here's another problem that I have with the bowls is that when we grew up, January 1st was like the big deal. You know, you woke up New Year's Day. Maybe you were a little hungover, but you woke up and you had a good slate of college football. And
all day and all night, and that was it.
Maybe even saw a national championship decided that night. Then they extended it to the 2nd or the 3rd. All right, you know, I can kind of live with that. TV's trying to optimize their revenues and make some more money. But now you've got 6 games on January 1st. And then you've got a game January 2nd, January 3rd, January 4th. Those are all legitimate bowls. And then January 7th, the national championship. But here's the thing. You've got a game on January 5th, the BBVA Compass Bowl between Pitt and Ole Miss. And then on January 6th, the GoDaddy.com Bowl between Kent State and Arkansas State. So you've got this
Kent
climax
State,
on the 1st. And then leading into the 2nd, the 3rd, and the 4th, the big bowls, the Cotton Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, you know, all of those, the Orange Bowl, the Rose Bowl, the Granddaddy of them all. Okay, I can live with all those. But then you got 2 bowl games on the 5th and the 6th to just keep you warm until the national championship game. So they're stretching the bowl season out as much as they can to get all that TV money.
Well,
so
let me ask you this,
it's not like
right?
when we grew up.
Which one do you want to see more? I mean, we know about the chip, right? Do you want to see Florida, Louisville? Do you want to see that Sugar Bowl that much, All-State Sugar Bowl?
No,
you're not going to be upset
Fiesta
if you miss.
I want to see the Oregon.
Right, you really
want to
see,
game.
Yeah, Tostitos Fiesta Bowl, Oregon against Kansas State. That's the one, right? You know, 11-1 versus 11-1. This could have actually been our championship. And, you know, the winner of this game could say I'm just as good as the winner of Notre Dame-Bama, you know.
Sure, the winner of that game is going to make a solid push for being number 2 in the country, and they might even say they could beat. Certainly, if Alabama wins, they could say, hey, we've got one loss just like Alabama does.
Yeah. So, Anyway, listen, we're going to get a lot more into the bowl games in the next couple of weeks. As the bowls, when do they first start off? It's like December 20th, or they're starting
a
couple weeks. So
the first bowl game is going to be it starts even December. I think December 15th.
22nd. Oh wow!
The Gildan New Mexico Bowl between Nevada and Arizona.
All right, so then. December
and then Toledo, 15th. Utah State, the famous Idaho Potato Bowl on December the 15th.
All right, then. So next Wednesday we'll have our bowl show so you fans know. We'll make our bowl predictions and we'll, you know, do all that with the bowls. But let's let that go.
Because
we could go crazy with these bowls. They are a mess, and it's all good, though. I mean, these guys, you know, they can't do a playoff, but they could have all these bowls, and these guys are supposed to be in school studying, whatever. So,
yeah, right.
And the playoff system is coming. You know, why don't we just take a quick break, and then let's jump into the NBA before we just get all crazy with the NFL. Ray and Tay.
Who's fault?
Back to talk about the National Basketball Association. So before we talk about some color on these games, let's just run through a little bit of the injury stuff like we did in the NFL. So it looks like Steve Blake is going to miss 6 to 8 weeks. He's going to have surgery to repair a torn ab muscle. Brooke Lopez is day-to-day as his MRI came back negative on his foot. Rip Hamilton is out indefinitely with the Bulls because he has a torn plantar fascia in his foot. Raymond Felton went through an MRI on his hand. He had a little bone bruise, but I think he should be all right. Ricky Rubio started practicing. So he just had his first practice on Sunday with the T-Wolves. They need him.
They need him badly.
Sure. And then they said our boy Amari Stoudemire looks like he's coming back Christmas time. So,
yeah, and he's willing to maybe play a six-man role, so... It's going to be exciting. I mean, when you look around the league, obviously the Knicks had a good weekend. They beat Washington and then beat Phoenix Suns yesterday. I tell you, man, Arizona is upset at New York right now because the at the same time, right, you got the Knicks beating the Phoenix Suns and you also had the Jets beating the Arizona Cardinals. So that's kind of rare and kind of funny when you have that double dip in two sports and stuff going on.
I don't consider the Jets – a Cardinals game even a game. I don't even know what it was, but 7-6 is not a real NFL game.
Know,
and not even
know,
because of the score, just because of the football. But we'll get into that.
Yeah.
We'll get into that some other
time. Well, look,
time.
The Knicks right now, right, because the Brooklyn Nets, they lost to the Heat. So the Knicks are first place at 12-4. You know, you got Brooklyn 11-5. And maybe surprisingly, the Sixers are 10-7.
Very surprisingly. Without Andrew Bynum, you thought they'd be 10-7? I thought they'd be... well under 500 right now.
Yeah. It's interesting. I think the biggest disappointment is the injuries for me are the Pacers with Granger. I mean, they're in third place at 8-9, and Milwaukee and the Bulls, you know, Derrick Rose and Milwaukee's just, you know, doing their thing, but they're not so really injured. Tied for first at 8-7 in the Central. Do you think the Pacers need to, I mean, they signed Sam Young, and obviously I told you before they should have gone after Petrus or some of these other players, but the Pacers are in trouble, man. Danny Granger, I don't know when he's coming back.
I just think I look at the Pacers roster and I just don't get excited. I mean, Paul George had some good, little bit of good play last year, and Roy Hibbert got his big contract, but Roy Hibbert, you know, there's a reason he didn't dominate at Georgetown, and there's a reason he hasn't been a dominant player. He's just not that good. He just happens to be big, 7'2", and he can do some things. Look, I'm not saying he can't play. I'm just saying he's not a dominant force in the middle. So to me, that team centers around dynamic, you know, wing play, starting with Danny Granger. And if they don't have Danny Granger, they are an average team at best. And David West is at the end of his career, so if there's somebody you could move, it might be David West.
He's not that old. God,
he's
you put him in the end of his career.
I mean, look, he's on the downside of his career. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I can't. I don't think he's that old. So, but I mean, he's not even nowhere near the age of Kobe. I just think David West, he might not be the athlete that he was, but he still can score in the post and those things. Their team's just flawed. I mean, they're just, you know, they're flawed. I think they're going to need Granger and George, and, you know, maybe they have to trade a piece, you know. You know what I'm surprised about, though? Forget about the Pacers. When you look at the Western Conference, obviously OKC goes on without, you know, Harden, and they're 14-4 and looking great. But in the Pacific, first place, Golden State and the Clippers are tied at 10-6. Lakers are 8-9. How about the Warriors?
Mark Jackson.
He's a good coach, man, don't you think? He's doing pretty good.
Yeah, second all-time in assists. Oh, no, did Jason Kidd pass? He's unbelievable. That's our boy, Mark Jackson.
Yeah, third all-time. Yeah.
But, well, it's funny because the Golden State Warriors, I mean.
And they're doing it without Bogut.
Yeah, they're doing it without Andrew Bogut. And obviously, they traded Monta Ellis for Bogut, so they shook up the backcourt, and then they brought in Klay Thompson in there and gave him the starting role after they traded away Monta Ellis. But that's either a coach's nightmare or a coach's dream, is that Golden State Warrior lineup, because they're such weird pieces to put together. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, Curry, Klay Thompson,
Steph Curry is really a two, but he's small, so he plays the one, and Klay Thompson is big, and he's a shooter. And David Lee is kind of this small-ish power forward, but he just gets work done.
He's a lefty, and
you know he's a lefty, averaging almost 11 rebounds a game. And Andrew Bogut is kind of your big classic center when he's healthy. And then they've got Richard Jefferson, again, you know, on the backside of his career, and they drafted our boy from Carolina, Harrison Barnes, who's so silky smooth, but is he the dynamic 2-3 that he was expected to be coming out of high school? So Jackson's got a lot of decisions, and he can
But you
a
know
lot
who
of
their
ways.
Glue is? Their glue is the two veterans off the bench, Carl Landry and Jared Jack. I think those are two great moves in the offseason that people don't pay attention to, except for people like me who love to watch the waiver wires. And I think those two veterans, well, you know, I go crazy for all little moves, you know. But that to me, those are two big moves, Landry very late and Jack. I mean, picking them up, they're really helping Golden State and doing well off the bench. But I have to tell you, it's kind of funny, right? Remember we had the whole thing on Friday's show about the Spurs and the fine and the money for not playing the game, right? So the Spurs are like, yo, I don't care what you say, because we rested our guys, and then they went on to spank Memphis on Saturday night. So they're now 14-4. Memphis got their third loss. They're 12-3. So that's what the Spurs were resting for. They wanted to beat Memphis in their own division.
Of course, the loss outside of the conference doesn't mean as much. So
yeah.
If you were to go 1-1 in those two games, of course you want to beat Memphis because they're right there in your division.
Now they're a half game back. You know, so it's just kind of funny to me, though, because, you know, it's like – they're like, hey, we're not
smart.
Really.
I mean, look, your Southwest games count twice. I mean, it's a win for you and it's a loss for them. So absolutely it's the right thing to do, but it's also the right thing to do for the league. That you can't do this. You can't do this in November. People pay a lot of money to see this. This is not acceptable. So I agree with David Stern 100%. That's fine.
So now Memphis and Miami Heat are both 12-3, and since Memphis beat them early on, they're like the number one stunners with that tiebreaker. But you know what? I got to say, and you know, obviously we shut it on Mikhail and his family, but for early season, 8-8, nobody thought the Rockets would be 8-8 and in the third place in their division. So I give kudos to Mikhail and the GM and the guys that they put together, because that's pretty darn good right now. The Rockets are playing 500 ball with, you know, not the greatest team and a lot of young guys and, you know, people criticizing
and you know
the
what, though?
Signings of Lin and Ashiq.
Yeah, and Ashiq gets, I mean, I don't know what he gets, but you got to give him some award because he's like the underrated guy that really was a role player in Chicago, and then he comes and signs that relatively big contract for somebody that wasn't getting a lot of press. And he's doing work. I tell you what, though, that team needs talent, though. The Houston team is okay, but I don't know. That West is brutal. And you know a team we didn't talk about? The Clippers at 10-6. So they're tied with Golden State, and they're really the talk of L.A. right now. in terms of getting it done on the court. Obviously, the Lakers have more star power with
Howard.
But
the Clippers have big issues. They don't like Del Negro, or they don't play for him. I don't know if he's going to make it through the year. And I think that there's some games where the Clippers just disappear. I mean, those some of those six losses, they've had some bad losses.
Yeah, and,
you know?
And I'm trying to think if a playoff, a deep, roster-wise, a deep playoff contender has had this much turmoil this early in the season, especially carrying over from last year with their coach. So, you know, I don't know where Donald Sterling is in all this, but this has got to get resolved. Leaves a lot to be desired there, but they've got to get this resolved. If this team, I mean, because this team finally has the talent, you know, that for years, for 25 years, and I agree with Sterling to some degree when he said, "Look, I never had a guy that I could bank," and maybe it was Elgin Baylor's fault for drafting these players, but he said, "I never had a guy that I could build my team around." You know, he had Danny Manning, and he had Michael Olowokandi, and he, you know, for whatever reason, their number one overall picks turned out to be, Blake Griffin turns out to be okay. Hey, look, you know, Tim Duncan.
Benjamin.
So they had a bunch of players, Charles Smith, who then ended up with the Knicks. They had a bunch of players that were good but not great. He never had a Jordan, an Elijah, on a U.S.
Well, now they have Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, and they, you know, need to get Grant Hill and Billups back healthy. But
well,
I'll tell you this.
That's my point.
They
so roster-wise, they have the
better
team.
Keep them
so
happy.
They need a coach to keep them happy.
Yeah, I don't know if Del Negro was the coach. I mean, CP3 was like on Twitter the other, you know, last week, whatever, basically saying, "Look, we got outplayed and outcoached." So, you know, if your star player is coming at the coach like that and then try to clean it up afterwards, but still,
that's not.
I don't know. I just think they need to do something to make a move. You know, for me, I mean, obviously, I'm just happy my Knicks look good, our Knicks look good, and you know, the battle for New York is still, you know, exciting. And definitely felt bad for the Phoenix Suns because they just, you know, were outmanned against the Knicks. They have a good team, but the Suns, you know, out here, we got some issues, and they're trying to figure things out.
Although Goran Dragic is turning out to be, you know, he's a very,
he's a stud.
Very solid
Him and Gortat are two good pieces. Sciola and Beasley are decent pieces. I don't know if they need to be starters, per se. I mean, maybe the Suns are another player away to get a legitimate three and have Beasley be a six-man. Maybe you get away with Scola being a starting four, but they're just a little short on talent. And maybe it's just a real two-guard. You know, Shannon Brown and Dudley are good. Definitely like Dudley, but plays more defense and shares the rock. But I think they need a more scoring two-guard. You know?
Yeah, they've got a bunch of role players there, too. Yeah, what did you think about the Lakers? What did you think about Dwight Howard, you know, playing in Miami?
Well, they go back to Orlando.
Orlando.
Yeah, they go to Orlando, and it's a freaking mess. They're 3-4 under D'Antoni. He shoots, 10 for 21 from the free throw line, and they do the hack and shack, and, you know, it was just a complete collapse, and it's a mess.
Yeah,
you know,
when they get Nash back, if they get Nash back, at least they get a 90% free throw shooter. So that's another guy on the court that is just money at the end of the game from the free throw line. So, but yeah, Dwight Howard, that's the trade off you're getting. They had a stat where Dwight Howard was there was a year where the Magic were -5, were in the bottom five in free throw shooting. But if you took Dwight Howard off the team, they'd be in the top five. So, in other words, everybody else was pulling their weight, and Dwight Howard's impact on that team was so much because he shoots so many free throws that it just killed the team free throw shooting.
You know, I think at the end of the day, if Bynum was healthy, I'd rather Bynum than Howard.
Yeah, but knowing what you know now about Bynum, you had to make that trade.
No. I just don't know. There's, you know, rumors that Howard's not happy in L.A. Got to reach out and find out from Jared Rudolph from Real GM. He's, you know, big-time friends with Dwight, and I've talked to him before on H2G. And, you know, I just think that I don't believe Kobe and Howard is a good match because Howard sometimes jokes around, plays around too much, and he's happy-go-lucky, and Kobe is an assassin. And Kobe's like, you know, stop smiling. We need to win. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And I think that Paul Gasol is at a place where I think he's just a mental yo-yo. And I think D'Antoni's already messed him up mentally compared to where he was already from last year's trade and non-trade and rumors. That now with D'Antoni there, there's more rumors, and then he's benching him in the fourth quarter. It's just not good, man. It's a mess, I think, and I don't think with this situation, I'll be surprised if they can pull it all.
D'Antoni's only been there for 7 games.
I know, but I'll be surprised if it all has time to get healthy and mesh together and win a chip this year. That's what I'm saying. I'd be surprised if they could get it all to work. If they could pull this off and ever win a title, oh, my God, it'll be the coach of the year, MVP. They would deserve everything. I just don't think it's all going to fall into place. You know, I really don't. So, but you know what? Let's keep it moving, man, and let's switch to week 13 of the NFL.
Lucky
and talk
13.
About, woo, I mean, these games, Ray, I just, you know what's so funny is that for me, I guess so hyped up. You know, I was calling you last night and couldn't get you on the phone, and I said, he's just afraid to hear the wrath of love and my Steelers have provided for everybody. But you know what? We'll go around and maybe let's talk about your boys first. You know, it's your birthday. We don't really need to talk about this game because they should have won, but the Cowboys won 38-33. We talk about it for Ray, right, because his Jets and Chargers suck and his Cowboys still alive a little bit.
Barely.
Right? Are you a Redskin fan tonight? Let me ask you that question.
You know, it's hard to ever root for the Redskins.
Well, for your Cowboys, right?
Yeah, your enemy's enemy is your best friend, so I suppose, because if the Redskins win tonight, the NFC East and the whole NFC is just a mess.
Yeah.
The Giants would be 7-5. The Cowboys would be 6-6. The Redskins would be 6-6. The Vikings are 6-6. Tampa Bay is 6-6, and New Orleans 5-7. So all of those teams are fighting. Obviously, the first three teams are fighting for the NFC East. So there's one game separates three teams in the NFC East.
With four games left, right?
Even the wild card is up for grabs. So you figure Chicago, Green Bay loser is going to take one of those wild cards. So all of those other teams are fighting for the second wild card.
I think Seattle just locked it up. I think that was a huge win in Seattle beating the Bears. You know, I think that sort of took it. I mean, I kudos to your boys, Dez Bryant, DeMarco Murray coming back. Overall, you guys, you know, beat
yeah,
the Eagles. Although they
hard.
Scored a lot of points, they scored a lot of points on you with Bryce Brown and Nick Foles.
Nick Foles.
You made Nick
yeah.
Foles. By the way, we didn't announce Nick Foles is now the starter for the rest of the season. He looked so good against the Cowboys. They're like, we're just going to go with the youth movement. So Nick Foles will be starting, and Mike Vick might not ever play in Philly again. If he does, it'll be for less money. But I think that now that your Cowboys got that NFC East win, this and that, I think the biggest win of the week, and we'll talk about this game, let's move to it. The Seahawks winning on the road with Russell Wilson 7-6,
wow.
Beating the now 8-4 Bears. I mean 7-5 beating the 8-4 Bears. The Seahawks, to me, man, that was huge. Sidney Rice took a shot in the last play of the game with that touchdown. And that was just like between him and Golden Tate and the Lynch mob, that team, they're deep. You know what I mean? To me, the Seahawks, they've got everything you need. If they can hold off the suspensions of the two corners and take it into next year, they're going to be something special. I mean, think of it like this, right? 6 receptions for 99 yards for Rice, 5 receptions for 96 yards from Golden Tate, both of them a touchdown. How many number one and two receivers both have weeks where they're both, you know, out of basically 100 yards and a touchdown? Not too many.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is this game right here was, is a playoff preview. I mean, right now these two teams are in the playoffs and going into the game, these two teams could potentially meet each other, but it looks like the Packers are going to win. So it looks like these guys, the Bears, that is, might be.
Can you imagine that Packers Seahawks rematch?
Sick.
How about that?
Ooh.
In Green Bay this time, That would be so awesome. You talk about revenge.
Yeah, that would be.
What do you think about the Seahawks defense, though? I think they were really big. They sort of, you know, kind of locked Forte down, 66 yards, Bush 39 yards. I think the Seahawks defense, you know, played pretty big in this game. Nobody stops a Marshall, right? 10 receptions, 165 yards.
And he had that big one. They almost lost that game, right? When Jay Cutler was on the 10 and he threw it to basically 40 yards to Marshall, and then he's just bigger than everybody else. So he caught the ball, and then he spun and got 10 more yards and got out of bounds. I mean, that was the play that almost
won the game. Yeah. He's bigger, better, stronger, and much faster.
And much faster, yes. You all know the EPMD reference. The Seahawks are a team to watch. I don't know that they're dynamic enough to win 2-3 games in the playoffs, but they can certainly win one. They can certainly ruin somebody's season if they make it, and they're going to have a one-game lead against all those six-loss teams. So they look like they're going to be, in there. But still, they still have to win a couple more games, right? Nothing.
They do. But you know what? This week they come home, you know, and I think they still have 3 games left at home out of the 4.
So you get your Russell Wilson jersey?
I told you from the jump, I had him as my backup quarterback for my fantasy leagues, and I wound up getting rid of him, but he really developed over the year. Russell Wilson, to me, you know, these rookies, right? It's Russell, it's Doug Martin, it's Luck, and it's RG3. You got 4 stud rookies this year, and this is going to go down as one of the best drafts in history. So why don't we move on to another rookie and talk about your boy Luck? And listen, real quick, shout out to AFC East, right? We don't need to talk about the game, but the Patriots beat the Dolphins and clinched the AFC East 23-16. And, the Tom Brady's the same as usual, Brady Belichick, AFC East. It sums it up real nice and sweet, you know?
Right.
So what do you think about your boy on the
road?
Well,
here's the thing. Andrew Luck, you know, he is a rookie. His father was a quarterback, and the guy is resilient. I mean, look, he's not perfect, and Lord knows he's made a lot of mistakes. And he had a game where he was under 50%. I mean, he's only 24 for 54. But the moxie and the ability to come back after throwing 3 interceptions and being down to a pretty potent Detroit team and then driving them down and throwing that 4th interception. Oh, and by the way, the pass before was – in Reggie Wayne's hand. You know, I was watching because I had Reggie Wayne on the fantasy team. So a perfect pass to Reggie Wayne got knocked out.
Reggie didn't have a big day.
Yeah. But Andrew Luck, look, I want him as my quarterback. I mean, RG3 is great. Look, you give me RG3, I'm not complaining. But Andrew Luck, he's the real deal. He's everything that you want in a quarterback. And then,
but you know what's so funny, though? We say, wait, you know, it's so funny, week to week, we go back and forth. Listen, that's how good these guys are, right? Because we're saying this tonight, right? Wednesday show, we might start off with like, oh, my God, RG3 is a man, because we don't know what he's going to do tonight.
What a great 1-2. You know what? We might have to look back in history. This might be the best 1-2 ever. I mean, look, it's obviously they're just rookies, but the way they played so far, they've probably had
ridiculous.
The best 1-2 rookie year, and they may project out to be the best 1-2 ever. In
look, that Detroit defensive line, they couldn't even get to him on that final drive, man. That big run that he had 3 rushes for 33 yards. I mean, Luck does whatever he has to do. He's athletic. He can throw the bomb. He throws great outs. He throws over the middle, lobs, bullets. He's a beast.
Yeah, he's the real deal. He's the real deal. So
391 yards?
Let's move on to another guy that's the real deal. And I'll just let you have the floor because that's your boy. And we gave him champ a few weeks ago. We called him the medical mystery, the medical, miracle. And unfortunately, he lost the game. But Adrian Peterson, what a game.
I saw some of this game. I was hot, right, because I was watching because AP's on my fantasy team. As you know, we're going into our playoffs, and we'll know about everything Wednesday. We'll talk about fantasy playoffs on Wednesday. But the poor Vikings lose 23-14 to Green Bay. So they're 6-6. They should have won this game. As far as the Packers are concerned, the Vikings are like, yo, they are who we thought they were. The Vikings, they handled them, okay? Aaron Rodgers, his big receivers, these guys, Nathan, okay? To me, Christian Ponder drove, AP drove him down. They're on the goal line. Ponder, what does he do? He throws a freaking interception to your boy, I think it was to Jennings.
Two
I'm just like, what are you doing?
Interceptions.
And then on another drive later in the game, he throws another interception. They were up 14-13, and, you know, they lose 23-13, but you'd have to see the game to understand the story. I mean, Rudolph was getting busy. You know, he had clutch receptions and did what he had to do, but they could not stop Adrian Peterson. 21 rushes for 210 yards. I mean, that's 10 yards a carry, ladies and gentlemen, a touchdown. He had the crazy long run for, like, what, I think it was 80 yards. He's a beast.
And Morgan Burnett, right, if it wasn't for Christian Ponder to Morgan Burnett, oh, sorry, he's on the wrong team, Minnesota should have won that game. They were moving the ball. They were dominating the 20-20, and then thank goodness that Adrian Peterson ran that 82-yarder. Otherwise, they might not have even scored on that drive. You know what? And I kept saying, I don't like Christian Ponder.
Jennings
like
and Nelson did nothing, right? It was Finley and Cobb both had six receptions.
Michael Finley had both of their touchdowns.
60 yards, yeah, and he had the touchdowns. But listen, give Green Bay some credit, right? They totally ran it for 27 carries between Green and Starks, and maybe that's their best combo to split them up because Starks, you know, he had the big run for the touchdown, but he had over 4 yards a carry, and then Green had over 4 yards a carry, almost 5 yards a carry, 58 yards for 12, and Starks 66 for 15. So that's a good balance. If the Packers can get over 100 yards rushing a game at 4 yards a pop, that's what they need. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
I think they found the right formula for the Packers.
Right, right. And I misspoke. No, Jones had the touchdown. I misspoke about Jermichael Finley. But,
yeah,
you know, again, James the Packers Jones. Need to get it together. It looks like the Vikings are going to struggle to make the playoffs, especially if they leave it up to Christian Ponder. Packers still have a lot of work to do. Looks like they might even win the division, but they got a lot of work to do. They're not clicking on all cylinders. But you know who is clicking on all cylinders? Is your boy Peyton Manning.
Oh,
and his Broncos, I actually thought the Bucs would upset them. But the 6-6 Bucs lose to the 9-3 Broncos. 31-23 Broncos, and Peyton Manning is clicking on all cylinders. This guy looks as good as advertised, as good as ever. His combination now, Derek Decker didn't do too much, but Tammy and Moore.
Well, Decker's done nothing for the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, well, he
it was
had
all
a good
Jacob Tammy.
He had a good middle of the season, but yeah, he's you know what? He's not a star. He's a very solid receiver, but this kid, Demaryius Thomas, is a star, and
he's a beast.
Stud. This guy's the real deal. He's big, he's strong, he's fast. He killed you as a Steeler fan. I know you still have nightmares about him.
Oh, please! I can't wait to play them again.
Yeah,
I want a piece of them.
But what do you think about Manning?
What could I say? I mean, AP and Manning, to me, these are two of the best football stories in NFL history. Not only does this guy come back for 4 surgeries, but he has to leave the love of his life, the Indianapolis Colts, and change cities. He loses all his guys. The only guy he could bring over is Stokely and Tammy, who were like nobodies in Indianapolis in terms of who he threw to, and he just keeps on grinding and keeps on doing it. I mean, I think the biggest thing you could say is that he now has full control over this offense, 27 for 38 for 242. It wasn't even a big game by him. But, you know, he just gets 3 touchdowns, and he just controls the team. You know, shout out to Moreno. He's alive, but, you know, 69 yards. Come on, 3.4 carry, but it's 20 carries, you know. So, I mean, they run the ball when they need to, and your boy Hillman had 5 for 29. They do what they need to do, but he'll just get it to whoever he needs to get it to, man. I mean, look, 9 receptions for Tammy? It's only 8 or 9 yards, but he moves the chains, man. And he limits what he does, though. He limits possessions for the other team because of his clock management. Look, Manning never hikes it unless it's got 1 or 2 seconds left on that clock. Other teams don't pay attention to that, and we'll talk about that when you talk about the Niners later. But teams don't know how to burn the clock down. Peyton Manning is he's like a masseuse at quarterback. You know what I'm saying? He massages it down to the bone. He makes sure he gets everything out of each play, each possession. He's an artiste at quarterback, you know. He really is, man. And you know what? Tampa Bay, shout out to them, man, because they played their butts off. I mean, they just couldn't
team.
Get over the hump on the road. You know, it's a hard game to win it down.
Forward to next year. 6-6, you know, again, they'll struggle to make the playoffs. NFC is going to be tough, especially if we think Seattle's going to take that second playoff spot, that second wild card. But, yeah, if you're a Tampa fan, if you're a Buccaneer fan, that's a good young team to be following. So let's finish up with your team. Let's give it to you. Even as my birthday, we'll let you talk a little bit about your Steelers against the Ravens. 23-20.
Wait. But what did I say a couple weeks ago on this show when we lost because of Leftwich and his ribs?
Oh, Lord.
I told you the Ravens are who we thought they were. We should have beat them a couple weeks ago. They're suckers. I told you we would go to their house and win. And we did it with Charlie Batch, who turns 38, I think, tomorrow. We did it with Charlie Batch. 7-5 to the 9-3 Ravens.
But just
who should
so
be
our audience knows, I have to deal with this for 30 years with Tay.
Let me tell you something. What you have to deal with is the greatest franchise in sports history, besides the Yankees,
Lord,
who we love. The Pittsburgh Steelers, that's the best thing ever in football, and we handle our business. Thank you. Troy Polamalu is back. I want to shout out our boy Stacey Manley. I haven't heard from him, but I think he might have had his kid last night or yesterday. And I called him and told him, you need to name your son Charlie for Charlie Batch or Heath
as bad
for
as
Heath
he looked,
Miller with the touchdown
catch. As bad as he looked last week, Charlie Batch looked great on Sunday. Looked like the Charlie Batch of 10 years ago.
Well, you know what it is? He had more practice. He had more time. Hey, and you know what? Kudos to the veterans helping him, right? Sanders, 5 for 60, some great catches from Emmanuel Sanders. But he's Miller,
Heath
5 for 97. And the way he ran in and got that touchdown, was that clutch or what, man? He dove, hit the pylon. I mean,
everybody,
a tight end.
Everybody did their share. Antonio Brown. I mean, Mike Wallace, something's wrong with him. He just doesn't look right. But other than Mike Wallace, Brown and Sanders and Miller, everybody looked good.
Hey, and even my man Dwyer, man. He did what he had to do. You know, he only had 49 yards rushing, but He definitely did, you know, enough that we were able to get that W. So, I'm happy with this team. I'm very, like, listen, I got Troy back. You know, we got Ike Taylor out, like you were saying before, but, you know, Big Ben might come back this week. We play the Chargers, who are done. We won't talk about them. Cincinnati went to San Diego and beat them, but the Chargers are just done. They don't even run the ball. They don't trust Matthews. So they're going to come to Pittsburgh, and we're going to pick off Phillip Rivers a couple times. But I was going to say about Heath Miller, 19.4 yards of reception for a tight end, that's a lot, especially when it's Charlie Batch, who doesn't have the greatest arm in the world. So kudos to us, man. We won 23-20. So I'm happy about that.
All right. Well, we wrapped up a good NFL Week 13. And let's keep it moving. We got our end of the weekend segment that we do on Monday, Champs and Chumps. So we talk about our best and our worst performers of the weekend. So Tay, why don't you start us off? Who are you? We going negative or are we going positive? What are you thinking?
Man, I'm still hyped up. I'm gonna let you go first. I'm gonna let you go first this week.
All right, I'm still hyped up.
I can't tell you which way I want to go because I'm still steaming, and I could just easily go off of whatever. But you go first, and then I'll.
All right. So you know what? I'll start off since I'm feeling happy, go lucky. I'll start off with on a positive. And my champ of the week is Russell Wilson, and I could give it to the whole Seattle offense and the whole Seattle team. But I'm giving it to Russell Wilson. This guy, everybody said he was too small growing up and that he didn't have what it takes. And this guy started his career at NC State and then went to Wisconsin and now is a rookie quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks. And when he showed up in Seattle, he was a third-round pick, so nobody expected much of him. And they signed Matt Flynn to the big deal, so most people go with the quarterback you're paying the most amount of money to, but he just outplayed him. And half the kudos go to our boy, the coach, because you know what? It took a lot of guts to start Russell Wilson. And Pete Carroll, you can say whatever you want from him and the USC, but one thing he's always said is, I'm going to get the most talented player and the best player plays. How I get him, if it's recruiting violations or whatever, we won't talk about that. We'll talk about the best player, the best athlete, and let the best player win. And Russell Wilson did the job, and he, quiet as kept, is another quarterback in that quarterback class of Luck and RG3. And he doesn't project to be the, you know, maybe the potential Hall of Famers that the other guys do, but he is going to have a solid, solid NFL career. The guy threw for 293 yards in Chicago against one of the top defenses in the NFL, two touchdowns, no interceptions, 293 yards, led him down the field in overtime. So they scored a touchdown in the fourth quarter, a touchdown in overtime, and again, no turnover, no interceptions. The guy has had a very, very solid year. We look at Luck, and these guys are unbelievable, Luck and RG3. But Russell Wilson is having one of the better rookie quarterback campaigns in recent history. The guy is awesome, and he played great, and his team is in the playoff hunt, 7-5.
So, he's a leader of men.
He's a leader. And again, not with all the physical tools that these other guys have. So my champ of the week, Russell Wilson, quarterback, Seattle Seahawks.
Well, listen, I'm not going to beat it up because we still want to preview that game. Mine is the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, they're down 13-6 at half, and really it's about Charlie Batch, you know, doing what he did, getting his stats. To me, I just think this was such a huge win. And for Charlie Batch on the road to go for 276 yards, you know, and have the attempts. And listen, you only had 49 yards from Dwyer, you know, 40-something from Redmond. So really, his 276, he carried us, you know, in the second half, and have the 10 points in the fourth quarter in the second half to have the drive to get the touchdown with Heath Miller. Clutch pass to Heath Miller for a first down. He had a clutch pass to Sanders for a first down, another one to Mike Wallace on the drive. And then the same thing for the drive against Baltimore, this supposed old great defense, and you got Ed Reed and these guys crying and sour grapes. But to get us in field goal range, so swish him, my man Sean, swish him, to kick the field goal and win, the Pittsburgh Steelers offense and mainly Charlie Batch are my champs of the week, man.
Woo, all right, well, we got the other side of the champs.
Because here we come.
Which is the chumps. So, you know, I hate to do it to a team that's 8-3-1, but the 49ers are my chumps. These guys, they tied with the Rams a few weeks ago. So they knew who they were dealing with. So you can't say it surprised them. This wasn't an out-of-conference
game. And it's a division rival.
It's a division rival. And if you look, they held Steven Jackson in check. They only gave up 48 yards on 21 carries. They even pretty much held Sam Bradford in check. So they limited, before overtime, the St. Louis Rams to 13 points. And they still couldn't win the game. After all that hype with Colin Kaepernick looking good the last few weeks and taking the job over and doing his thing, they needed a little better. They needed to perform a little better. If you're going to be a Super Bowl team, and that's the thing, it's all about expectations, right? If you're going to be a Super Bowl team, you have to win these games, because what's going to happen is the Niners are going to have to go on the road on this team against the rest of the league. So these guys have to go handle their business against the St. Louis Rams of the world, because they want to host the NFC Championship game again at home. So my chump of the week, even though they're 8-3-1, and we'll see them in the playoffs, is the Niners, because if they expect to be in the Super Bowl, they better play better than they did on Sunday.
All right, real quick, my chump, and I know it's going to hurt my 13-year-old, Elijah, the Arizona Cardinals, Fitzgerald, one catch in the first quarter for 23 yards on Cromartie, who locked him down. Michael Floyd, 2 for 22. Lindley, the quarterback, was freaking disgusting. It was horrible. 10 for 31? Are you kidding me? For 72 passing yards? That's like high school. I don't know what the Cardinals were doing. Your boy Johnson rushed for 40 yards on one carry, so he was the punt returner who got more yards than their running backs because Powell and Beanie Wells did nothing. Beanie, Chris Wells, 15 for 22. You might as well have stayed injured and not even come. 1.5 yards a carry? I mean, come on. What are the Cardinals doing? They've lost 8 in a row. They're 4-8. This kid doesn't even want to watch football anymore. I mean, it's ridiculous. They were 4-0. I had a party going on in my house.
I did tell you that they were not a 4-0.
I know.
Team.
And now it's
8 in a row.
Look, it's ridiculous. They're my chumps. I don't even want to talk about it. Real quick, let's just focus. You know, listen, we got the Giants at Washington. This is the biggest game in the NFC East right now. The Giants sort of righted the ship with Eli. They're 7-4. Redskins 5-6. I think for me the key is who's going to run the ball better. They're going to go with Alfred Morris and they're going to go with Bradshaw, and we'll see if David Wilson could help. Who can establish the run? I think it's going to be a shootout with Eli and RG3. For me, I don't even know if any team will be able to sack the quarterback more than once or twice. It's going to be turnovers and running the ball. I think the Giants are going to pull out a doozy. I believe it's going to be like 30-27, last second field goal by Tynes. Giants win on the road tonight. I think the Giants stay alive and go on the way to run away with the NFC East and beat the Redskins.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I can't.
RG3 will get 300 yards.
I think it's going to be very similar to the game about a month ago when RG3 had that great pass to Santana Moss and then Eli Manning topped it with that great pass, threading the needle, or maybe you could argue it's bad safety play by the Redskins and getting.
And now he's got Garcon back, though.
I've got a sneaky feeling that the Redskins can win this game.
You feeling sneaky on your birthday?
Capital, in the nation's capital. And I'm not saying this because it makes the NFC East and the NFC playoff
yes,
picture look better for the Cowboys.
This is a Cowboy homer, ladies and gentlemen.
No, I call it like I see it. I call it like I see it. I have a sneaky feeling that the Giants and Redskins, they each have each other's number on offense. So I do think there'll be some points put up in this game. And so the Redskins could win this game. I think so. A real close one, but the Redskins can win this game, I'm telling you.
Listen, on Wednesday, I want you to open up the show with an apology to the Giants because of your Cowboy fandom.
No, I call it like I see it. I'll tear apart the Cowboys when they deserve it. I'll give credit to anybody else in the NFC East when they deserve it. I just think that the Redskins aren't scared of the Giants. Look, they could lose, of course, but the Redskins have their number. You know, they can move the ball up and down the field.
Yeah, They
swept them last year, and they could have easily won that game at MetLife Stadium a month ago. So I like the Redskins in this game. Close game, shootout, last second field goal potentially by the Redskins, maybe.
Give me a score, birthday boy.
27-24. Yeah.
All right, man. Well, listen, go have some birthday dinner and have your birthday cake and, represent for us old guys out there in the NYC, and I'll hold it down in the AZ over here. Let's have a great Monday night game. We'll see you on Wednesday. We'll do you where you at Wednesday. We're going to talk about the fantasy football playoffs. It will all be set up and ran out. We'll talk about our league. And, I want Garcon to get busy tonight, him and Victor Cruz.
Yeah, it should be a good game. So thanks for joining us, Ray and Tay. We'll see you guys on Wednesday.
Thanks for talking sports with friends. Enjoy. We're out. Peace.
Never seen a star to make. nothing lasts forever. However,